Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I think Kyle Shanahan's right. I don't think you're ever going to write off the Chiefs. That is for sure. We are Unsportsmanlike, normally from the Seaport, brought to us by Grey Goose with Evan Canty and Michelle. But today, Vegas East.
Vegas East.
Bristol. I love it. I love it here. I know that everybody's like, oh, we're in New York City. It's so fancy. It's so great. It is. We also have this studio, which is awesome. We get to hang with Nuno and Pat and Javante. I love it. I love being here. So, hi. Everybody good? You guys are looking
we're
at
good.
Me like,
we're good.
Are you,
we're good.
They're like, are you
we're
sure you're okay?
We're just watching you wax poetic about Bristol.
I love being here. I think it's awesome.
I can tell you called it Vegas East.
Yeah. I could have sworn I did a promo yesterday, like a commercial for the show, that had that scripted in it. Didn't I?
Yeah, that's what we've been calling it.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't, like, losing it there more than normal.
All right.
Okay. All right, anyway. So when you look at these two teams this weekend, I was thinking about what do they have in common, right? You can't say they have the quarterbacks in common because even me as a Purdy guy, I'm not putting him with Mahomes. Defensively, maybe a little bit in common. I think that Kansas City's defense was great all year. San Francisco has a lot of big names. They're awesome on defense as well. Coaching-wise, Andy Reid is so far ahead of Kyle Shanahan at this point in his career. I think the one thing they may have in common would be elite-level tight ends, okay? And you look at Travis Kelce and you look at George Kittle, and if we were to say, all right, who are the top two tight ends in the league, I think we'd say those two guys, wouldn't we? Is there another person that you would say could even find their way into that conversation as best tight ends in the NFL?
No.
Okay.
Not right now. I mean, it's too early for Sam Laporta.
Okay. Yeah. Mark Andrews, maybe? Ironically, those are the four teams that were in the title games.
Yeah, exactly,
Is it ironic? Here's what I'm asking. Is tight end the second most important position on offense relative to team success? Elite quarterback. But if I then said, okay, you could pick one position to guarantee you team success where you're going to have an elite player. Is tight end that position?
No, it's left tackle.
Yeah, that's where I'd go to.
But the Chiefs don't have a good left tackle.
Yeah, I get that. They have a really good interior offensive line, but if you're asking me to pick the positions of importance, I would say the quarterback and then the guy that keeps the quarterback upright. I believe that teams are built inside out, front to back. So, I mean, when you start looking at what people are paid and the team and the positions that people prioritize when it comes to draft and free agency, those are the spots. Those are considered the premium players. So I would go offensive lineman. I would probably say left tackle would be my preference, but offensive lineman and then quarterback.
Okay, so then let's eliminate that. Let's eliminate the line. Skill position-wise, that somebody would take on their fantasy team. Is tight end the second most valuable position behind quarterback?
Ooh.
So in other words, what I'm saying to you and what I'm leading into, obviously, I'm not hiding this, that I believe that if you look at the two Super Bowl teams, and these two teams have now played twice in 4 years with the same tight ends, both of them, and Rob Gronkowski was dominant for a long period of time, and we just talked about Sam Laporta, Detroit Lions, Mark Andrews, Baltimore Ravens, Isaiah Likely was there when he was hurt, obviously, that I am making the claim that in order to get to the Super Bowl, if you're paying skill position guys, obviously a quarterback, but then go tight end. It guarantees you success more than the other positions.
Here's what I'll say to that. I think relative to what you're paying the player, there's tremendous value in having a tight end because it gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of what you can do with your offense. From a personnel standpoint, like you can have the tight end be a factor in the run game, but you could also split your tight end out and have him be a matchup nightmare when it comes to the DBs or the linebackers, whoever the defensive coordinator is going to deem the cover man for that position. So I think they're a unique chess piece. But it's also because of what they're paid in comparison to wide receivers. Like the top-end wide receivers are going to make $30 million a year. The top-end tight end, what are they making, 15, 20?
But if we're drafting
so there's a difference in terms of how you can allocate the resources to the rest of the roster. And I think that's what we're seeing, right? You look at the San Francisco 49ers, they're paying Deebo Samuel for some money, but Brandon Ayuk is on a rookie deal. I mean, you look at what they've got going on. Like, they got Christian McCaffrey for the love from the Carolina Panthers because the Panthers paid him the huge signing bonus with the contract extension. So, like, they've been able to have a lot of flexibility in terms of what they're doing with their roster because of the pay scale with their playmakers, and particularly with the tight end position in George Kittle and how valuable he is to both facets of the offense.
If we're drafting out of the Super Bowl, though, okay, and so once you pick a position, you don't need another one, right? So if we're going to draft a team only using Super Bowl players, the first pick any of us would take would be Mahomes.
Obviously.
Right? So you have Mahomes on your team. You don't need to take Purdy. The other team has Purdy. Who are you taking second?
Trent Williams.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry, the skill position guys. Skill position players. Sorry.
Christian McCaffrey.
Same.
See, I wouldn't. I would take Kelce.
I think Christian McCaffrey, and this is not a knock on Travis Kelce, but I think Christian McCaffrey is just more versatile. Like, you can use him in
Christian
so many
McCaffrey
different ways.
Christian McCaffrey is the best skill position player in this game.
He's unbelievable.
I think he's unbelievable.
There's a reason
also.
Why he's a finalist for the MVP.
And he's one of one.
Like, there's a reason why.
But Travis Kelce is one of one in a lot of ways. I know you want to compare him to George Kittle, but there's a lot of teams that we've seen in the Super Bowl in recent years that haven't had a Travis Kelce-like tight end that have gone the wide receiver route, a Cooper Kupp, a Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, Travis Kelce is also singular in a lot of ways with the things that he can do.
But I just think that the quarterbacks that win the most championships are the ones that have that safety valve at the tight end position. Like, if you look at some of the winningest quarterbacks, they always have that guy at that position. Because think about it this way. If I were to say to you, who are the best receivers in the sport right now?
Tyreek Hill.
Won a Super Bowl in Kansas City, won without him.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb.
Never won anything.
Justin Jefferson.
Never won anything.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Never won been to a Super Bowl, but hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, Cooper Kupp.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a small percentage if you think about it, right? And then if I say the best tight ends, you're going to give me a list, and they've all been there, right? Or they've all won. Now, the best running backs is just one guy, right? Because we've seen that there's no reason to pay the other guy. Christian McCaffrey is one of one. Derrick Henry maybe, but hasn't won anything.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this offseason, Tony Pollard and Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley, there's no reason for those teams to pay them. I guess the point that I'm making is when you think of the similarities between these two teams, the dominance at the tight end position in a weird way is the similarity between them.
Yeah, but the two tight ends do it completely differently.
Mm-hmm. Explain.
Well, I mean, George Kittle is more of the inline tight end. He's going to be the traditional Y. He's going to block. He's going to set the edge in the run game, or he's going to take over the edge in the run game for that outside zone scheme that Kyle Shanahan loves to use featuring Christian McCaffrey. Whereas with Travis Kelce, they're going to split him out more, have him detached from the line of scrimmage, from the tackle box, and allow him to be in space similar to what you would see from an X receiver. That's how they're going to use Travis Kelce, that kind of versatility, being able to line him up. He's too big for safeties and corners. He's too fast and agile for linebackers, so he's a mismatch in that regard. So I think that's where I would say they do it differently. Now, George Kittle is a great receiver in his own right. He's got a lot of range for a tight end. That's why he's an all-pro. But I just think what George Kittle does in the run game is what puts him eye-to-eye with Travis Kelce as the best tight end in the game, because he's such a factor in terms of being able to move people. You'll see George Kittle moving defensive ends and outside linebackers. He's that kind of nasty when it comes to being a blocker. And he doesn't just want to block you. He wants to finish you. He wants to make sure the defender has a grass stain on the back of his jersey, which is never a good thing as a former defensive lineman. That means you've been getting your ass kicked all game. That's what George Kittle wants to do. He wants to rub your nose in it. Mm. And that's the kind of nasty that the San Francisco 49ers, when they're at their best and when that offense is rolling, that's the kind of nasty that they have in the run game. And that's what is going to be critical early on in this game for them, to be able to establish the run against that Kansas City Chiefs defensive front. We saw that the Baltimore Ravens abandoned the run early by virtue of the score, but we also saw a couple of weeks earlier in the divisional round, the Buffalo Bills made it a fourth quarter game and had a chance because they were able to run the ball for over 180 yards. So that's the key for me for San Francisco, is being able to stay balanced on the offensive side of the ball. Now your defense has got to get some stops in order to keep the scoreboard in check so you can stay with the run game. But I think that those guys on the line of scrimmage, the offensive line, Deebo Samuel, also George Kittle, those are guys that are understated as blockers in the run game. They're going to have to be physical with Kansas City, in order for them to establish that run.
So blindly, if I said to you guys, next year going into the season, you have, let's say, an A-level quarterback, okay? Mm. And you could also have what you deem to be the best receiver in the league or the best tight end in the league. Which one are you choosing?
Best receiver in the league?
Yeah. Or the best tight end.
Am I paying him best receiver money?
Sure.
Ooh.
And assume you're paying top of the market for tight end, whatever the top of the market would then be for a tight end.
Yeah, that's a difference of about $10 million. Oof. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm paying a receiver $30 million. I'm paying a tight end $20. So, yeah, there's a big discrepancy there. I would probably lean toward tight end.
Yeah, me too. Smalls?
I think I'd still go wide receiver, even though the financials lean tight end.
What kind of quarterback am I working with?
I'm saying an A-level quarterback. Let's not say
Mahomes.
Oh,
yeah, if it's an A-level quarterback, it's a no-brainer. It's tight end. Because I know my A-level quarterback can make it work with a group of wide receivers, like a group. Like I know Joe Burrow, and I know Patrick Mahomes, and I know Lamar Jackson, and I know Josh Allen can make it work with, you know, B wide receivers. But if they have that dominant player as a pass catcher at the tight end spot that can dictate front and coverage and be that self-safety valve, then I'm good.
Yeah, I just think it's such a difference maker. We're going to see it on Sunday, right? Like, it's not going to surprise anyone if, obviously, the quarterbacks will be the first and second most likely, but it wouldn't surprise anyone if Travis Kelce or George Kittle won Super Bowl MVP. Like, that's how good these guys are. Kelce more than Kittle, obviously, in terms of likelihood. I just think it's such a difference maker in this league. Ken in North Carolina watching on ESPN2. What's up, Ken?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. If you allow me, two topics. One, really, Brock Purdy, and then the other one, Patrick Mahomes. The first thing is, I'm basically over Brock because of people like you, Evan, mm-hmm. and Jeff Saturday. If he even wins this game, he is not great. I believe what Cam Newton said. He is a system quarterback who has talent around him. I think he's a...
Wait, what you said and what Cam said are totally different things. Cam said that he plays in a system. He's more of a game manager. Cam never said he was bad. I think people are taking Cam's stuff out of context. You just said he's not... Even if he wins the Super Bowl in his second year, as a guy that his touchdown to interception ratio is basically 3-1, he's not great. Like, is he
not
good?
Great, because I believe what Chris says, you stop throwing the word great.
But great Chris is saying he's a top 10 quarterback. Great. Chris just said he's a top 10 quarterback. Great and not, like, you're making him seem like he's freaking me out there. CC's saying he's top 10 in the league. He's just not top 5, even if he wins.
In that system, I think if they had Kirk Cousins, they could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because Kirk Cousins is awesome.
I even think Baker Mayfield could bring that team because Baker Mayfield is better than Garoppolo.
But you can never. Here's the thing: you can't prove that. Like I hear where you're going with. That's a hypothetical that we'll never see play itself out. But I mean, if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, how can it not change your opinion of him as a player?
You know, Tom Brady can win in this system.
This Chiefs defense has to.
Like right now, I've got him as the 10th best quarterback in the league. But if he wins the Super Bowl, all of a sudden, I think there's a case to be made that he leapfrogs Dak, that he leapfrogs Jalen Hurts, that he leapfrogs Justin Herbert, that he leapfrogs Trevor Lawrence.
But you hate him, CeCe.
I don't hate him, but I'm just saying, like, if he wins the Super Bowl, that has to change how we look at him. That's another data point. He beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
It's a pretty big data point.
There's only been, one other quarterback to do that? That's Tom Brady.
He's good.
He's good at confirmed. Good at football.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Wild.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
3 p.m. Eastern time today, NBA trade deadline. I haven't heard. I just heard about it now for the first time. Or I've been refreshing Woj's Twitter every 4 seconds.
Yeah, we should do a wellness check on you today because you've been waiting.
Well, trades yesterday. Boy, were they big ones.
You've been waiting
by that,
for
I mean nobody
move.
Cares about
the,
any of them.
The Pistons made a big move.
Right? Pistons
right,
adding
right,
makes
right,
sense.
Right, JV? A big move, Jovante? Big move by the Pistons, right? Sending the second rounder to Utah?
Yeah, they made it. They made a few.
Okay. Monte Morris going to.
They traded my guy, Monte Morris.
Everybody saying that. Why is everybody saying that about
Simone Fontecchio? That doesn't sound like a made-up player?
Not when I saw him do what he did against the Heat last year. It drove me nuts, that guy.
Is he related to Michelle or something? Sounds Italian.
Yeah,
kind of does.
Think all Italians are related, Pat?
Aren't they?
We're familial.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, sure, yeah.
He tried to make it an awkward moment.
No, I think Pat handled that one for
us. Always does.
So earlier today, you shared that when you ran into Pat for the first time in the hallway, you shook his hand and then said, is this weird, right?
Well, because there was like silence and then we did the shake.
But
right?
I think if you have to ask that question, you know the answer
to
it.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. Exactly. It was weird. It was weird. I didn't know what to do exactly in that spot. But anyway, NBA trade deadline today. Is there a team or player that you guys are looking at and saying, all right, I better hear by 3:01 p.m. Eastern time today that they did something? Like, is it, like, for me, and it's probably not going to happen, it's actually Chicago, because they seem to enjoy the idea of being in the play-in tournament. Like, hey, we made it. We made it in that 7-10. That's not really making it. And just because CC's Lakers and my Heat last year went on a run with LeBron James and Jimmy Butler doesn't mean because you're in the similar spot that you can go on the run. I think that's the team that I got to see by 3:01 p.m. Eastern time today, that they do something to trade off DeMar DeRozan, maybe to Philadelphia.
Trade off Alex Caruso. What
trade
is he
off
still doing
Andre
on the team?
Drummond. Like, the list goes on and on and on. That's the one team that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I'm looking at my Lakers. And okay. It's driving me mad that there's this notion, according to Woj, within the Lakers organization, that D'Angelo Russell could be the piece that, if he continues to play like he's playing, that can get this Lakers team in this season turned around. It drives me wild because we've seen it with D'Angelo Russell. He'll have these stretches where he's great for 3 weeks, and then you'll have to put an AP beat out on him and put him on the back of a milk carton for months. Like, I just don't understand. We've seen it across two different stints, across multiple seasons, that this guy is not somebody that you can rely on when the games matter most. I don't understand why they're hesitating to include D'Angelo Russell in a trade package to bring back a piece that can make a material difference on what the season is going to look like. Like, I get it. Like, he scored over 20 in 2 of the last 5 games that they've played, and he hasn't been turning the ball over like it's going out of style lately. Great. But we know that once the playoffs get here, D'Angelo Russell is going to go ghost. And that's why I don't understand why they won't trade for somebody that's more reliable. Yeah, they might not, the player that they get might not have the upside like D'Angelo Russell, and that's fine. But at least if the guy can be relied on every single night to give you consistent minutes and give you consistent production and not hurt your team and knock down open shots, then I'll take that. I don't understand why they're hesitating because of D'Angelo Russell. That makes no sense.
Yeah, just because they're coming off a good swing where they've won 3 in a row, I don't think should preclude them from making a move. And that's the team I'm looking at, obviously, is the Lakers, because they need to be better. They're not as good as we expected them to be. And when LeBron James wants something, usually he gets it. When he does all these passive-aggressive hourglass, the Knicks towel. Usually he does all of that and it results in something, and usually it's something that he wants. So I am surprised that they might be a little reluctant to make a move, maybe because of the recent success they've had, the bump that they've had on this swing. Yeah. But I think they need to, that seems short-sighted to me.
Yeah.
So speaking of the Lakers, today is 2/8/24. The numbers of Kobe Bryant, obviously, 8/24 in there. And ESPN LA, which we're on every single day, 7/10, has a live broadcast going on all day today from the East Central Hotel, which is a great hotel. I've stayed there. It's right across the street from where the Lakers play in that whole downtown area. It's a phenomenal hotel. Great little second floor lounge area outdoor. Oh, tremendous. I've had my coffee and egg white sandwich at that East Central.
A little al fresco coffee situation.
Oh, tremendous. Yeah.
You should have seen him in Palm Beach. Yeah. Loves to sit outside and have a coffee in a courtyard.
Yeah, that is 100% correct. But so a celebration of Kobe's life today, and Magic Johnson discussed Kobe's legacy.
He was relentless in attacking you, and he was so cool under pressure. He always wanted the big shot. And 9 times out of 10, he made the big shot. And Kobe, what he did for not only Los Angeles, but for the world in terms of basketball, but also women's sports and training all the NBA players, college players, WNBA players, little girls. And then he advised so many athletes. He was an incredible advisor and mentor to so many athletes in different sports. And so his presence and his legacy lives on even today.
So Magic, 2/8/24, Gigi's number, Kobe's numbers, and then the Lakers are going to plan to unveil a Kobe Bryant statue. It is still surreal that he is not with us. Like, it's still beyond comprehension. Now, sometimes I'll scroll through Instagram and I'll see like an old Kobe video and I'm like, how is this even possible? And I think that the celebration of his life and his influence, as much as we can do it in ESPN 710, doing it all day today in LA, is awesome. And I think about him anytime I see someone that just cares about doing their job at the highest of level and not caring about all the other stuff around it. It's odd, but I was watching that We Are the World documentary, which I think you've seen bits and pieces of, right, on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And Michael Jackson, during the American Music Awards, they're trying to get this song ready to go in 1985, doesn't go to the award show because he has to put the finishing touches on the song. And I'm like, that's Kobe.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if there's an award show. He's doing his job. I'm sure you've played with teammates like that, but that level of respect for the sport and the craft is just remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, in you know, the Basketball Muse, the Kobe, you know, documentary, he kind of goes into, you know, his approach to the game. And one of the things that he figured out early on in his career, like whatever city that he would get to, like he would get into the gym. Like, that would be the first thing that he would do, is go to the gym. Like, he was traveling on the road, going straight to the gym. Other guys would be thinking about going out. He's going to the gym and getting shots up, getting a workout, like getting prepared and sharpening his craft. And it just shows you the commitment to uncompromised excellence. Like, that's to me is what sticks out about Kobe Bryant. Like, everybody wants to compare him and Michael Jordan and how he patterned his game after Michael Jordan. But I think the mental aspect of it is far more fascinating in terms of his overall approach and how he would, you know, get under teammates' skin. He would kind of ruffle feathers with the coaching staff. It didn't matter, because if he felt like this was going to be within the best interest of the team and ultimately lead to winning at the highest level, he would challenge people to do whatever it took. And I think that's the part that I hold on to. That's the Mamba mentality as far as I see it. Uncompromised excellence. I don't care who's in my way. I don't care if what I say lands wrong with you. I'm going to say it because it's what I need and what we need to have the kind of success that I'm envisioning.
Relentless in that pursuit. And LeBron James talked about this recently, about how there's so many young players that he sees that get distracted once they get into this situation and they're playing at this high level, that they get distracted by the cars or the jewelry or the fame. And Kobe Bryant always had those blinders on. He always was so focused in on how he could improve his game and those around him. And he has an unbelievable legacy for so many reasons. But what Magic talked about, and the tentacles that he put down in the game, and the way that he mentored people and the people that he elevated, and how the game is in a better place because of Kobe Bryant in so many ways, I think is also a really important part of that legacy.
ESPN LA has that coverage all day today, 7/10. If you want to tune in, ESPN app, ESPN LA app, and you could listen to it, all the Kobe coverage, 2/8/24 today. Coming up, another Lakers fan talking football. Damian Woody will join us next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The underdog conversation, where there really is no underdog this year in the Super Bowl, but somebody has to be. ESPN Bet has it as the Kansas City Chiefs. Am I wrong? It feels like there's no underdog.
There is an underdog.
Oh, boy.
The Chiefs are the underdog.
Oh, boy. Here he goes. Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Let's bring in ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody, and he can answer this question. All right, Damian, who's the underdog in the Super Bowl?
It should be the 49ers. I know people will look at the personnel and say, oh, that's a better team, but when I look at what the road that Kansas City went on, I mean, who's going? Why in the world would you put the Kansas City Chiefs as the underdog in this game where they went on the road in Buffalo against Josh Allen, won, went on the road against a historic defense and you know, presumptive league MVP and Lamar Jackson and won? Like, how in the world can we sit here and say the Kansas City Chiefs are the underdogs to the San Francisco 49ers? And I'm not slighting the 49ers because they have a lot of, you know, they have a very good team. They're well coached. But listen, at the end of the day, you talking about Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and that defense? No way.
So you're saying that there's more pressure on the Chiefs going into this game?
I would think so. Yeah. Listen, I think if we're going to talk about, you know, this leads to a bigger discussion, right? Like, who needs this game the most? And for me, I'm saying Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan needs this game the most because obviously, you know, we've seen him go to the Super Bowl before, lose, okay? Not only as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, obviously we talk about that 28-3, you know, when he was with the Atlanta Falcons as the offensive coordinator where they blew it to the New England Patriots. So, listen, we're talking about a third time now, you know, being in the Super Bowl for Kyle Shanahan. It's time to bring it home. If you don't do it this time, then we're going to start looking at you sideways.
Damien, going back to the underdog conversation, as somebody who's been to Super Bowls, who's won Super Bowls, how much does championship DNA and being there and having done it before factor into how you view this game with the Chiefs and the 49ers?
Listen, I don't know. I think it's minuscule because, you know, you look at this 49ers team, a lot of these guys played in the Super Bowl before, albeit they lost, but they played in the Super Bowl. So we're not talking about a team in the 49ers that haven't been there. They've been there. They understand the routine, the way that this whole week works and stuff like that, so on and so forth. So I just don't think there's going to be this big advantage for the Kansas City Chiefs because they won the Super Bowl.
Damian, Brock Purdy, feel-good story or you're sick of the story already?
I'm growing tired of it now, man, because it's just the discussion, man, has just been so – like, the dude is a really good quarterback, man. Like, what do you want him to – I think for my question to folks out there is, what more do you want Brock Purdy to do? I mean, all he's doing is just going out there and being an elite point guard. He's getting to the ball. He's getting the ball to the people, to his playmakers. Isn't that what an elite point guard does? Gets the ball to his playmakers? I mean, what more do you want the guy to do? I just – quite honestly, I'm getting sick of the discussion. You know, is he a playmaker or is he a game manager? Who cares as long as you're winning football games?
Well, Damian, I got Brock Purdy as the 10th best quarterback in the league right now. Where do you have him and how does that change if he wins the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, listen, I think, you know, I always say if you're mentioning the same breath as Joe Cool, Joe Montana, you're doing something right. Like you're entering rarefied air. So listen, I can't knock what you're saying. You know, CeCe, putting him in the top 10 there. If he goes out here and beats Patrick Mahomes, one of the greats that we've seen in this game, we got to start elevating. Like
where does he go? Elevating him to where, though? Where does he go for you?
He stays in the – he doesn't go in the top five. He doesn't go in the top five.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, he doesn't go in the top five, but, yeah, he can elevate.
He's somewhere in that top 5 to 10 range. He's probably just moves up from 10 to somewhere in the mix. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. But, top five, I'm just hard-pressed to go that high.
Damian, what position groups or matchups within this game are you looking at that you think could determine the outcome?
Yeah, there's a couple, right? Like, I'm a former offensive lineman, so I'm always going to look at the line of scrimmage. You talk about, on both sides, actually, the Chiefs' tackles against Nick Bosa and Chase Young. I want to see how that matches up. And then also for the 49ers, their right tackle against, probably Chris Jones. We see Chris Jones moves around a lot trying to create matchup problems. So we're going to see, what that looks like. Also, I think another matchup that's going to be very prominent in this game is going to be Travis Kelce against Fred Warner and Drake Greenlaw. That is literally strength on strength. Playing in between the numbers, that's the strength of the 49ers defense. So let's see who wins that battle.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are joined by ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody. I want to go back to something you just said about, because I think we're in agreement with you, but I want to know your reasoning. You're sick of the game manager versus game changer conversation. Not sick of Cam Newton, who brought it up, but sick of the conversation about it. Why?
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't for me, it's about winning football games. He's operating the offense at a very efficient level, and he makes plays when plays are needed to be made. You go back to the NFC Championship game, second half against the Detroit Lions. I mean, he was a playmaker. He did what was needed in that game in order to win that game. And so, for me, I could care less about the game changer or game manager. It's all about, are you making the correct plays when it matters the most? And that's what Brock Purdy has done.
Damian, when we're looking at this matchup, I know that we're focusing a lot on the San Francisco 49ers side of it, but just looking at the Chiefs side of it, one of the sore spots for this team is going to be the offensive line, and specifically the offensive tackles. I mean, you're talking about the worst tackle tandem in the National Football League between Donovan Smith and Jawan Taylor. How do the Kansas City Chiefs hold up in pass protection against this San Francisco 49ers pass rush?
Well, they've been doing it all postseason. They've been doing it all postseason, CeCe, and the way they've been doing it, I think people got to understand that Andy Reid is a former offensive lineman. So it's going to start there first as far as protection, but they do it by formation and personnel. You'll see a lot of times you'll see an extra tight end lined up outside the tackle to give him presence there to help out with the rushes, so to help ease, help take pressure off those tackles, or by formation. We talk about those condensed splits, bunches, all those type of things to throw a lot of what I call trash at those defensive end, those wide rushers. So, just by formation and personnel, they've really helped out those tackles for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Damian, speaking of Andy Reid, if he wins another one, how does that impact his legacy? We've talked a lot about Patrick Mahomes winning another one, how that gets him closer to Brady. But what about Andy Reid? Do you put him in the same conversation with Bill Belichick if he wins another Super Bowl?
He's up there. I mean, think about it. The one thing that I love about Andy Reid is he's won with a lot of different quarterbacks, right? We know that is, and he has like, you almost have to look at Andy Reid in two eras. His time in Philadelphia, where he knocked on the door multiple times as far as the championship game, just really couldn't get through. And then his time with the Kansas City Chiefs, where obviously he's had much success with Patrick Mahomes, winning multiple championships with the opportunity to win a third Super Bowl. So Andy Reid, to me, is in rarefied air. I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be mentioned in the same breath as Bill Belichick. Because the way he's been able to coach quarterbacks and get the most out of these quarterbacks, and then obviously develop a guy in Patrick Mahomes, who, when it's all said and done, is going to be up there with Tom Brady.
All right, Damian, very quickly here, as a Lakers fan, trade deadline today, 3 p.m. Eastern. You want your team to make a move or stand pat?
I mean, what move is there to be made that's going to really impact them? I mean, that's the thing that. For me, I'll say this: outside of trading LeBron James, I don't know if there's a move that'll be made that'll elevate us to contention with the Denver Nuggets or the Los Angeles Clippers or anything like that. So I would probably say stand pat right now.
Well, you and CeCe will probably not be happy then tomorrow at that point because, one of you is not going to be, right?
Yeah.
You want them to make a move.
Yeah.
Damian doesn't. We'll see.
I mean, they're better off right now in terms of record than they were last year this time.
Right.
We saw what they were after the All-Star weekend. Like, I believe in being aggressive. I don't think that they should just stand pat. But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about the Super Bowl. That's what we're going to focus on. But I'm just saying, I think the Lakers need to make a move.
Thank you, Damian. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week. All right, there is Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst and Lakers fan like CeCe. What an honor for us. We get to, coming up, have an in-person version of I'm Over It with Pat Costello. We've never seen it like this in person. We will describe what it looks like next on Unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, we are in Bristol today. We get to look at Pat, a live in-person version for us of I'm Over It. CeCe, before we get in, Smalls, before we get to Pat, I want your reaction, because CeCe jumped out of his chair when he saw Pat do the outfit change, because he wears a Your Sponsorship Here shirt and hat because he's dying for a sponsor for this segment. But he doesn't wear it for the entirety of this show, only this portion of it. Yeah. And you saw the live change.
It's so ridiculous. And the coup de grace has to be the Stark Industries as the example stapled on the wall right next to Pat. That is absolutely hilarious. It's hilarious.
Does Pat think, by the way, if he does get a sponsorship, that he's going to benefit personally from that? Because, like, one of us would end up doing
the
library.
But he should, though.
Well, we should do the library.
No,
well, we'll do the read, but he should have some kind of benefit
to it.
This is his baby. But here's the thing. If it's a sponsorship, it kind of takes away from it if he actually gets a sponsorship because he can't wear the shirt and the hat.
Ah.
It actually takes away from it.
I'll just put the logo of whoever it is right on top of this.
Good point.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize how much tape was involved.
That's what I was waiting for somebody to say that.
It's very shiny.
I was waiting for that one. All right, Pat, what do you got for us today? Things you're over, sports, entertainment, the world, et cetera.
I don't understand how people can eat bacon that's not crispy. It blows me away every time I see someone that eats bacon that looks like it's rubbery. It looks like they're biting into like some flesh or something. It's absolutely disgusting, and you're a psychopath if you don't like crispy bacon.
Completely agree. Cosign retweet. Pat is absolutely right on that one. That's why I don't like turkey bacon. Not really a fan because it doesn't get crispy like real bacon. I just don't understand those kind of people.
I may vomit. Raw meat grosses me out.
That's why you cook it till it's crispy.
Right. What you just said, right, thinking about that, like, makes me want to puke.
So you don't cook chicken in your house?
No, I can't look at it. I literally can't look at raw meat. I get nauseous looking at raw meat.
Really?
Yeah. I'm weird. What do you want me to say?
So if your wife wasn't around, you would just be a vegetarian?
No, I'd go and get.
You go buy it.
Yes, I buy it cooked.
You buy it cooked.
Yeah. Which I do anyway. Right? I'll go to the supermarket.
Go to the grocery store, get the chicken that's already baked.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah. That's part of the Saturday 6 a.m. club.
It's a great deal, by the way. It's a great deal.
Yeah, I just say I want a pound of chicken or four slices or four pieces, whatever it is, and I get a couple of lunches and dinners out of it. It's great.
I get the whole rotisserie chicken.
You do?
It's like 10 bucks.
That's a good deal.
It's like 10 bucks at the grocery store. It's hard to beat that deal.
You get multiple. You get 3 to 4 meals out of that, I would say, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally agree. Next one, Pat.
I've never been less invested in a quarterback than I am in Brock Purdy in this Super Bowl. He is completely personality. He is like a creative quarterback. If you start up Madden and you want to create a player, he's the guy that you start with. I'm supposed to be emotionally invested in him and his story just because he was Mr. Irrelevant? Clearly there was a reason.
I don't understand it, though, Pat. We love the underdog story in American sports. We love that story. To see him in the Super Bowl in his first season as the full-time starter? Well, they're not the underdogs as a team, but he is an underdog when it comes to this matchup. Like, it's like him and Patrick Mahomes. Like, one of these is not the same. Like, it's just, it's clear that it's not Brock. Like, this is a situation that nobody anticipated Brock Purdy being in when they drafted him 2 years ago.
Yes.
For it to be that quick, like, you take over the starting job, and then in year two, your team is in the Super Bowl? Nobody saw this coming.
It's remarkable. But, Pat, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to speak for you. But it feels like we don't know a lot about him. There's not a lot of charisma around the story. Like, for instance, C.J. Stroud came on this year as a rookie and was really dynamic. But we learned a lot about his life, his dad. We learned about him as a person. We saw clips that showed his personality. We don't really get that with Brock Purdy. He kind of flies under the radar. So all we have to talk about is not only his play, but Mr. Irrelevant and what a good story it is. We don't know a lot about the guy.
But is he really under the radar, though? Like, at every single game, they show his parents in the stands and... I don't know. You know, he stays with his roommate. Like, he had a roommate. Like, how many starting quarterbacks have a roommate in the NFL? Like, I feel like there are all of these data points that we have that inform a lot of the opinions and, I guess, the likability of Brock Purdy. And I think that's why a lot of people are rooting for him.
I think I have stumbled on a theory. I don't know in 2024, in football, basketball, baseball, hockey, any of the major sports, I don't know if we could ever actually have an underdog as a person, not a team.
What?
The amount of coverage that we have towards everyone allows us to talk more about someone than we used to. Everyone talks about Brock Purdy all day, every day, for the last month or two.
No doubt.
When Kurt Warner, off of literally bagging groceries, not figuratively, he was literally bagging groceries, when he shows up to the Rams, Trent Green gets hurt, he goes in, they win a Super Bowl, greatest show on turf, it was Mike and Mike. That's it. Right? Like, it was, like, that's, that was.
Yeah, but he was still an underdog. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and it said, who is this guy?
But everyone was rooting for him because of the fact that he was such an underdog. Brock Purdy is obviously an underdog, but there's oversaturation of conversation, thankfully, because of all the different shows and platforms that we have, that I don't know that you can even have an underdog as an individual anymore.
He's still an underdog.
He's Mr. Irrelevant.
Nobody thought he would be in this position when he was drafted.
Not saying it properly. I feel like the level of fairy tale story doesn't happen anymore because people could get sick of the conversation. I'm not sick of it, but a lot of people are sick of the Brock Purdy conversation.
Yeah.
According to Pat.
But I think that's the loud minority. I think the majority of people are rooting for Brock Purdy because he's the new shiny toy, and he's something different as opposed to the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in the Super Bowl for the fourth time in, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
Like, we want the new thing, and Brock Purdy is the new thing.
See, I think these two teams, and again, I may be in the minority on this, are both easy to root for. I don't hate either of these teams. Normally, I go into a Super Bowl like wanting to root against.
But you talk about oversaturation. The Kansas City Chiefs are there,
big time.
They're over, like, but it's oversaturation with the big commercials time. And Travis Dayton, Taylor Swift.
I can't turn around without seeing them somewhere.
We're getting there now.
But
the head coach is in commercials.
He's in a lot more than we realize.
That's,
by the
that's
way,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but we have said. I don't think Smalls feels this way, but CeCe, you and I both like dominance in sports. We like there being
a
clear
cut. No, we like
cut.
Dominance, but Patrick Mahomes, who is a very likable figure himself, said, I'm starting to feel like people view me as a villain. And it's okay, he'll lean into it because that's what it is. But he's starting to feel that.
Right.
So I think we're on the verge of Chiefs fatigue, which is why I think the majority of people out there are rooting for Brock Purdy and the 49ers on Super Bowl Sunday.
Next one, Pat.
I just, real quick, I don't even think I could pick Brock Purdy's voice, like, out of a hat, but that doesn't make any sense, but yeah. I couldn't identify, like, listen, I don't think, he has, like, a very generic voice.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick Mahomes sound like pretty.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't sound like Kermit the Frog, yeah. So just, you know that voice.
Yeah, well, listen real quick.
Okay.
So generic, right? You're telling me?
He sounds like a coach. That sounds like a coach.
You know what's crazy about that? You can stop playing it, Javonte. You know what's crazy about that? That was Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he could be anybody.
Well done.
Brock Purdy's voice could be anybody.
Wasn't even Brock Purdy. All right, last one real quick. Anyone who keeps like a spider or a snake or a rat as a pet cannot be trusted.
Can't.
You should not let any of these people into your life.
Couldn't agree more.
Really?
I don't understand that.
You want to hang out with someone who has a snake in their house?
I'll tell you this. If I'm at brunch with the girls and somebody arrives at the table and she's like, I'm dating this guy. He has a snake as a pet. All of us are like, red flag.
Really?
No. Because what about a snake do you want as a pet? What is it about that you want to have in your house every day?
It's a great question.
I totally agree.
He keeps a tarantula in his bedroom. Okay. Run.
Where are we at with pet sharks?
No, I thought you were pointing to Nuno.
Pet sharks, yeah. Where are we at with pet sharks?
Who has a pet shark?
Pet shark.
Pet sharks.
Drew Rosenhaus has a
tank with sharks in it, yeah.
That's NFL money. That's
yeah,
different.
Totally. No doubt.
Pet sharks?
Yeah.
Never even heard of such a thing. Wow. When you have an aquarium. How many people have aquariums?
Probably more than you think.
Do you have an aquarium?
No.
A lot of maintenance.
Do you want an aquarium?
No, I don't want any pets. I have a hard enough time taking care of myself.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.